bank balance, relatives, and so on. I'll start again. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested to explain the duty of a Vaishnava, a Krishna conscious person, he immediately said, Asat Sangha Tyaga, a Vaishnava Achar. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of persons who are not devotees of Krishna and who are too attached to material things, wife, children, bank balance, and so on. Prahlad Maharaj also prays to the personality of Godhead that he may avoid the association of non-devotees attached to the materialistic way of life. If he must be attached to someone, he prays to be attached only to a devotee. A devotee is not interested in unnecessarily increasing the demands of the senses for gratification. Of course, as long as one is in this material world, one must have a material body, and it must be maintained for executing devotional service. The body can be maintained very easily by eating Krishna prasada. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanaham. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Why should the menu be unnecessarily increased for the satisfaction of the tongue? Devotees should eat as simply as possible. Otherwise, attachment for material things will gradually increase, and the senses, being very strong, will soon require more and more material enjoyment. Then the real business of life, to advance in Krishna consciousness, will stop. Om Jnana Dimananta Syaknamanjana Shalakaya Jakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svakadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagaranatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sakaitam Sakadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagaranalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karnatambho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarukhyascha Kripa Sindhumayaivacha Patitanam Bhavanejo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is one of those verses that scares us. Recently at the Sadhu Sangha retreat in North Carolina, His Holiness Shachinandan Swami made a very insightful comment. He said, the young devotees, brand new to Krishna consciousness, when they hear the word surrender, they get very enlivened and they become very enthused and very enlivened. They're very eager to dive into the process. The old devotees who have been on this path for quite some time, when they hear the word surrender, they become a little bit fearful. So it's not so easy thing to surrender to Krishna. Why? Krishna explains this to Arjuna in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 44. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayaparata cetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhauna vidhiyate. Samadhauna vidhiyate. It's not enjoined, he says, almost sarcastically, that a person who is too attached to material opulence and sense gratification will also have vyavasayatmika buddhi. What does vyavasayatmika buddhi mean? Ekagrachitta buddhi. Fixed intelligence on one thing, surrendering to Krishna. Here the translation reads, in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Now, in his commentary on this verse, Bhavartha Deepika, Sridhar Swami writes, what is the definition of this, what is described here? Sangha. Or he's describing, along with Jiva Goswami also, what does it mean? Kana vritti. One should ma agada dara atmaja vitta bandhushu. One should not become too attached to agada. What does agada mean? It's not a common word. Srila Prabhupada translates it not only here, but elsewhere in the fifth canto as prison. It actually means a dwelling of any sort. You said what this afternoon? Bandigar, no. Place where they tie up criminals. So agada means your house, but he's translating it as prison. That seems pretty strong, doesn't it? What are the ropes that are tying you to your home? Dada, the wife. Atmaja, the children are even stronger, isn't it? We see, in modern society, I mean, Srila Prabhupada said about newlyweds, for the first year and a half, they're floating in the clouds. Then finally after that, maybe 2 years or so, then their feet finally touch the ground and they figure out that it's all about hard work. And what shape does that hard work take? Atmaja. It's all about the children for the next 20 years. Your life is stolen away by children in this way. So these are more effective chains than iron shackles. They're very effective. Just like in modern societies, so-called democracies, there's really no such thing as democracy, but they call it that euphemistically. They know that the very best way to subjugate an entire population is to make them think that they're making the choices. You can talk to Mark Zuckerberg about that. Actually, there was a BBC article about this some time ago. It said that Facebook was actually the brainchild of the Central Intelligence Agency. And when they got tired of it, having served its purpose, then they kind of privatized it. They gave it over to someone else. Their intention was to see how much they could get how many thousands of ordinary people they could get to willingly part with very personal information. And we see that it's extremely effective. So they're now on to bigger and better things. like Avatar cards. Anyway, so Sangha. Sangha gachati iti Sangha. Sangha means it all goes together. The agara, the house, and the dara, because what's a house without a dara, without a wife? Then the children, what's the marriage without children? And what else? You've got to have to make the whole thing work. What do you need? Vitta. People, sometimes they're afraid of worshipping Krishna because he's not only Chitta Hari, he's also Vitta Hari. Very nice verse from Bill the Mungo Thakur about this. He says, Paya suchaura paradara chaura stri vastra chaura sura vriksha chaura samsara chaura sakaladhi chaura shriyapate tvam navanita chaura. Very simple Sanskrit you can understand. He not only takes away butter and dairy products from the gopis, what else does he take? Paya suchaura paradara chaura. He steals away other people's wives. Whose wife? Whose wife does Krishna steal? Abhimanyu's wife. Who's Abhimanyu's wife? Radharani. This is illicit. Therefore, it's called parakiya. There's a reason for that. We may explain later. So, paradara chora. One time, a Christian man, he was Indian. They make the best or the worst Christians, depending on how you want to look at it. So one Indian man came to Srila Prabhupada. He had become a Christian. So he was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. I used to be a Hindu, but I no longer worship Krishna because he's an immoral god. He made this very bold claim in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh, how is that? He said, oh, he's dancing with other people's wives. This is more immoral activity. In the middle of the night, other people's wives. He calls him out of the forest by his flute, and then he dances with him. This is not the kind of god that I would worship. So Prabhupada very patiently explained to this man, actually, Bhagavan, the definition of Bhagavan is, he has all the bhagas. Aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriyaha, ityadi. Parashramoni in Vishnu Purana defines the word Bhagavan. The person who possesses all bhagas. So bhaga means opulence. Therefore we say bhagyavan, or so bhagyavati raho. It means to be imbued with opulence. So Bhagavan, he has all opulences in the entire universe. Everything is working under his control. Mayadhyakshena prakatihi ityadi. So that includes both the living entities and the non-living entities. Living entities means all the demigods, all the human beings, all the sages, all even the demons, all the animals, all living beings. So he said, and the female of every species is also part of that energy. So Krishna owns all the females in the existence, and particularly in human realm, all the women belong to Krishna, including your wife. So you're actually the one who is immoral here. Okay, so I forgot how we got on this diversion, but
okay.
A house, wife, children, vitta, we were saying. He's chitta hari and also vitta hari. So he steals so many things. Butter. If we're lucky, before we die, Krishna can steal away everything that we work hard to produce. Because that is the greatest blessing, actually. Otherwise, what's going to happen at the time of death? Who's going to steal it if not Krishna? Maya will steal it away. Dhanani bhumau, vashavashta goshte. Have you ever heard this verse? Very nice verse from one of these Subhashitas. Dhanani bhumau, your money will stay in the bank. They used to plant it in the ground. Maybe now they'll resume that practice. But somebody told me that the new notes, the 2,000 rupee notes, they can find them even if they're 30 feet underground. So good luck. Dhanani bhumau, your money will stay in the bank. Pashavashta goshte, your car will stay in the garage. People didn't used to drive cars, they used to drive animals. So pashavashta goshte means the same thing. Nari grihadvare, if she knows religious principles, the wife will come as far as the doorway of your house, but will not leave. She will not attend the funeral. So, Nadi Grihadwari, Janaha Smashane, your friends and relatives, they will come where? To your funeral. Smashane. And Dehashchidana, your body will go as far as the chitta. You see? Paraloka Marge, Karamanago Gachati Jiva Eka. The jiva goes on alone. Nobody will come with you, including your money will stay here. Better to have your money stolen by Krishna, no? We work so hard to produce so much butter. Just like in Vrajatam, the gopis are working so hard. Mother Yashoda, she wants to produce so much nice milk products for Krishna. She has special cows. She only feeds scented grasses to these cows. Why? Because cows have the mystic Shakti. They can turn grass into milk. And that milk, when they only eat scented grass, it has very nice flavor. So she takes this milk and she uses this to make Krishna nice things, nice milk sweets. Sandesh, Shrikhand, Barfi, whatever. So many nice things. And still he goes and steals from other gopis. She's frustrated. But that's transcendental ecstasy. It's great ecstasy. But the ecstasy, nobody describes it as ecstasy when you lose everything at the time of death. Everything is very violently and abruptly taken away from you, whether you're ready or not. When the time is there, you have to go. So, here we're talking about the things that bind us, ditta, and then finally bandhushu. Even if you have no money, but if you have friends, you can get by, isn't it? But just imagine a world with no friends. You can have money. You can have a wife. You can have kids. Nobody's going to like you. Are you ready for that? Society, friendship, and love. One poet described these three things as divinely bestowed upon men, but not by Krishna directly. They're divinely bestowed upon us by the Daiti Maya to bewilder us, to distract us from the real purpose of the human form of life. So, Sango yadi syat bhagavat kriyeshunaha. Therefore, if we have to have Sangha, Sangha means it all goes together. The whole conglomerate of the impressions that fill our minds as a result of associating with house, wife, children, friends, wealth. Adi, adi, adi. So many other things as well in this material world. If we have to have that kind of association, he says, let it be for Bhagavat Priya. Now, Bhagavat Priya, it's not really clear what exactly it means. We can assume it means the Vaishnavas, the devotees. That's what Prabhupada translates it. But it can be taken in a wider context. What kind of residence do you have? One which is dear to the Lord. Matravas. You live in Vrindavan. Or you live in Bear, Delaware, but you are meditating that you are living in Vrindavan. Just like when you take a shower in the morning, do you meditate on the shower knob? Or on the soap, or do you meditate on Yamuna? A beautiful Sanskrit prayer Rupa Goswami has written. Bhātur antakasya pattane vibhatti harini prekshayati pāpinopi pāpa sindhutarini nīra madhuri pirapyashesha chitta bandhani mām punātu sarvadāra vinda bandhani. He says, dear Yamuna, she's poetically addressed as her brother is addressed as Antakasya Pattane Vipatti Harini. She removes the calamity of having to meet her brother in his kingdom. Who is the brother of Yamuna?
Yama.
Then Matra, Vishramka, there's a famous temple. Yama Yami, brother and sister. People worship them. Everybody knows, North Indians know about Payaduj, Yama Dvitiya. What is the origin of that? One day, the sun god's wife, her name is Santhya, she was overwhelmed, she just couldn't handle it anymore. Sometimes wives feel like this. And she decided that my husband is so brilliant, even sunglasses don't help, he's just too bright. Sun god, sun god walks into the room, it's it's illuminating, put it that way. So So she needed a break. So she decided, but, you know, I've got to do my duty at the same time. She was a dutiful wife, Jay's wife also. So she created a facsimile of herself, and that facsimile of herself is called Chaya. The sun god has two wives, Santhya and Chaya. So the two kids, they were carrying on, Yama and Yami, Yamuna Devi's. Actually, the name is Yamuna is itself a corruption in Sanskrit. It should actually be Yama Anuja, Yamanuja. But they've corrupted, so now it's become Yamuna. A little factory for you. So Yama Yami, they were carrying on, but Yamadaj got suspicious. He said, you know, Mata's not treating us the same way anymore. There's something wrong here. So he figured it out, that this is not our real mother. She's not, you know, kids know. So he decided he's going to run away from home. Sometimes when the children become mad, they decide that they're going to run away from home. So, Krishna did this on one occasion as well. That's another story we don't have time for. Anyway, so Yamanaj left home and he was hiding. And Yamanaj looking all over the place for her younger brother, for her older brother. She can't find him anywhere. So she was quite distraught. So, after a long, long time of looking, finally she figured out that he's at Mathura, Vishramghat. And so she humbly bowed down to her elder brother and said, listen, please come home. And he said, no, like children do. What, around two age, the age of two, they do this, right? Anything you tell them, it's no. So I don't know how old he was, but he was in that mood. He wouldn't come. So finally she cooked a big feast for him, and she pleased him, because the best way to a boy's heart is through his stomach. So he was happy, and then he said, okay, well, you ask me any benediction, I'll give you. She said, okay, you please come home, and whoever bathes in my water should never have to see you again. And they say, well, wait a minute. You're flowing all the way from Himalayas all the way down to the Bay of Bengal. That's a lot. What will happen? I need something to do, no? So she said, okay, anybody who bathes in my waters on Yama Dvitiya, then that person won't have to see you. And Yamanaj said, tathastu. So that's how this festival came about. Yama Dvitiya, it's celebrated with great elan in Mathura and Vishranti Ghat. It's better known as Bhaya Dooj in Braj Bhasha or Hindi also. Okay, so how do we get on this topic? Oh, yeah, we can. Bhagavat Kriya Agara. A residence that is dear to the Lord is a place where the Lord has had his pastimes, but even if he hasn't had his pastimes yet in Bear, Delaware, we can meditate on his pastimes in the holy dham of Brajbhumi. So, then our house becomes Bhagavad Priya. Dara, if the wife is a devotee also, then the house becomes like Goloka. If the children are raised in Krishna consciousness, you make them become devotees, train them nicely. It only takes one generation of neglect, my friends, and you wipe out thousands and thousands of years of cumulative wisdom, culture, knowledge, spiritual attainment, refinement. It only takes one generation of neglect. So Bhagavatam even goes so far as to say in this very canto, one should not become a parent unless you can actually train up to give this Sanatan Dharma to the next generation. It's very, very important. Because it lives not exactly in the Shastra, not exactly even in the spiritual master, but in the society itself it inheres. That's called Shishtachara, or in the Bhagavatam it's also called Aitihya, the real standard by which we can understand what the Shastras mean. Tradition. Paramparagata Bharatiya Sanskriti. Okay, so these things can all become dear to the Lord also, but more powerful is the personal association with a pure devotee especially. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, and Jiva Goswami also, they've pointed out that if you have association with devotees, a pure devotee in particular, then that is so powerful that it will counteract whatever ill effects are there from mundane attachment to your mundane house, your mundane family members, your wealth, your mundane life, you see? These things are contaminating. But the power of devotional association is strong enough to overtake that. However, he says, if you have an attachment for both the pure devotee and your mundane relationships, then it's very hard to make advancement. Because they cancel each other out and you're constantly going like this and then like this. And then, you see, that's called anishtha bhakti, unsteady or immature bhakti. So what else does he say? Another option is to just give up household life altogether. Raise your hand if you're ready to do that. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, so then the key is that we have to keep in good association. Bina sat sanga na hari katha, bina moha na bhaga, moha gai binu rama pada, hoi na drahanuraga. Tulasidas writes, he's a good poet. So the same thing is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoi. All perfection will come even from a moment's association with a devotee. This is a verse that he's paraphrasing, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually quotes it directly from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages gathered at Naimisharanya. They gave this opinion while they were praising the wonderful character and Krishna Katha of Shukadeva Goswami. They said, Tulayama labe napi, nasvarga napunar bhavam. You cannot compare the association of devotee to even Swarga Loka, nor even what is above Swarga Loka. What's above Swarga Loka? Mukti. Mukti, liberation. He says, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. What is the point of worldly benedictions? Or even non-devotional benediction of liberation? It is, you cannot be compared to even a slight moment's association with a pure devotee. That's how powerful it is, devotional service. No wonder it can help us, pull us up above the mundane attachments that chain us to this material world through all these various categories that have been mentioned here. So, we can refer back to the fifth canto, earlier in the fifth canto, chapter 5. I'm going to end just a minute here. Lord Rishabhadev was teaching about what is the root cause of all material attachment, or what is the ultimate entanglement in this material world? Sex life. So he's got some very scary verses about this. He says, even though one may be a very learned scholar, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Actually, there's one interesting quote about this also. Srila Prabhupada said, householders sometimes fight. And Srila Prabhupada said, when householders fight, that means there is sex life going on. If they're temperate, which means to say that if they only procreate at the time that is recommended in the shastra, then this can be minimized. Something to consider. Now, here's a real hammer. Pungsastriyamitunibhavametam tayor mitohradaya granthim avu ato griha kshetra sutapta vittayir janasya mohoyamaham mameti. Rishabhadev is talking. Any Jains here? I don't think so. Sometimes the Jains that worship Rishabhadev also. West side of India, they worship him. So he says, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, wealth. Does that list sound familiar? It's the same one in today's verse, isn't it? Spoken by Prahlad Maharaj a million miles away. And a million ages away as well. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of aham and mama, I and mine. This is called ahamkara, we discussed the other night. So, these are some things to think about. Finally, Srila Prabhupada has taken this verse in a new direction. Not exactly a new direction, but he's focused on the principle of sense gratification in the material world. The acharyas commenting up until now have been talking generally about sense gratification in the form of these five. No? Home, wife, children, wealth, friends, or relatives. What does Srila Prabhupada say? What did he talk about? Anybody remember in his purport? He's talking specifically about the tongue. Because people, so many people nowadays, most people, even in India, they're not vegetarians. And there's no need to eat non-vegetarian items. It's only for the tongue. My Ayurvedic doctor told me, he was a very wise person, he said, actually, everybody just needs to eat khichdi every day. For your health, that is the best thing. Easy to digest, nourishing, satisfying, kwesamasyani. But, he said, the problem is that the horses have to be fed. Who are the horses? We have five of them. The eyes, the ears, the tongue, the nose. The horses need other things, you see. So some degree of sense gratification has to be there. But this should be regulated in accordance with the Shastra injunctions. Ya Shastra vidhimutsrijya vaktate kama karataha nasa siddhima vaknoti nasukham na parangati. Krishna says in chapter 16, after elaborating the divine and the demoniac qualities that we may attach ourselves to, he says, a person who is progressive should act acharati atmanaha shreyas, should act only for shreyas, ultimate excellence, and not just prayas. Here the word is used in this verse, indriya priya, meaning a person who is devoted to the senses, or indriya priti, the process of sense gratification. That is animal life. Dharmasya hina pashupisamana. Animals are also eating. Animals are also mating, they're also fighting, they're sleeping, just like us. But they have no scope for anything higher. We do. We have higher faculties. And, as they say, use it or lose it. You see? If you don't act like a human being, then you don't require the human body. And you'll probably be happier without one. Therefore, you may be given one. Something not human. Is that what you want? Think about it. You have a few years left. The clock is ticking. So, these are a few things. Prabhupada is talking about eating. Now, Jiva Goswami in his commentary has also defined this specifically. What does it mean? Pranavritti. The word is used, pranavritti. You should only endeavor for sense gratification for the purpose of pranavritti. Keeping your life... the vitals, the vital symptoms going, huh? So what does he say in particular? He says, this means kshutrit upashanti. You have to pacify your hunger and your thirst. You should not be starving, and you should be satisfied. Prabhupada used the word, a very rarely used word, sumptuous. What does sumptuous mean? It's not extravagant, but it's satisfying. And on another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, sense gratification is like salt. If you have too much of it, it's not good. If you don't have enough of it, it's also not good. You see? It has to be just right. And the Shastras have given us directions. If we want to be human beings, the way to salt your life, so to speak, just right, is to follow the injunctions of the Shastras. Shastra Viti. So, a person who is otherwise unrestrained, he says, atmavan. The symptom of someone who is atmavan is this. He only takes what is necessary, not extravagant. What we want and what we need, those are not necessarily the same things. You see? So what do we need, really? We need 5-6 chapatis, or if you're a South Indian, you're allowed dosas. And then you need 6 feet of space to sleep, and that's pretty much shelter. You need to be warm so you don't get sick here in Delaware, it gets cold. But nothing extravagant. You don't need the Mercedes Benz, and you don't need all these other things that people get envious about. I'm one more thing before we stop. Srila Prabhupada said, NRIs. We didn't use the term back then in the 70s. It's a new term. But that's what he was talking about. He said, they're like new crows. Have you heard this? If there's a garbage pile at Peekskill, New York, there's a big garbage pile offshore. Now that's where they put all the trash from the entire state. It's out there floating in the ocean. In fact, in the Pacific Ocean, there's a 300 square mile garbage island floating and twirling around in the middle of the ocean from all the world's garbage. And it's getting bigger every day because we're not stopping. We're speeding up with the production of garbage. This civilization is one in which 5%, I'm talking about this Europe and America especially, and anybody who buys into or adopts that lifestyle, they're involved. They're complicit, as we say in legal terms. It's 5% of the world's population consuming way more than 50% of the world's resources and producing way more than that of the world's garbage. You see? Does that sound like a sustainable civilization? Devamrita Swami, who's a very well-trained, intelligent person, he did some research on this and found that to maintain this so-called pattern of demographic transition that we tout as the epitome of human attainment, he said to replicate this worldwide would require the resources of 5 additional planet Earth. No wonder it's World War III right now, even if it's undeclared. No wonder. Everybody's putting up their bases and, you know, they're filling in sand islands and whatever, you know, preparing their missiles and, you know, manipulating each other's elections and, you see, because there's only so many resources to go around. So, actually, people should take what they need. And then be a human being, think about how much longer you can enjoy in this world anyway, so what's the loss? You're going to have to give it up anyway. What are you going to get at the time of death? This is human life. Okay, so this is text 10. Tomorrow we're going to go on the more positive side. It's one of those scary verses that knock on sense gratification.
I hope everybody will show up tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope you're not scared away now. It gets better, don't worry. It's just tonight, it's a little bit heavy, so. I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or any comments.
Really enlightening project.
Hare Krishna.
Nice. I read somewhere, it said like, if you leave something in the bank when you die, it's extra harsh for that thing which you cannot use it anymore.
Yeah, not if, you will leave it in the bank. Tanani Bhumau. It's already been decided. I'm dealing with that now. My brother passed away last year. And I can deal with all that stuff. Okay.
Is anyone has questions? it's very hard, you know, the balance. We cannot be completely detached and renounced, you know, because overnight when we say that, okay, there's no all this. The whole life's efforts which we have been thinking, you know, for me, now we think one night we find it's useless. So
yeah, literally, last fall in India.
Yeah. So it's like a heart attack overnight.
A lot of people got wasted.
How,
4 hours you have to do something about it.
Yeah. In what is the easy process that one can gradually, as Yukta Vera gave away, one can have what they have, but still how one can gradually cultivate Krishna consciousness and make it successful, whatever his life.
This is a good point, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, he brings up this question that someone may get the impression that if you have to associate with anyone, let it be a devotee. He says, I don't like this interpretation. He says, because that suggests that associating with nothing is better than associating with a devotee. And that would be contradictory not only to the verse that we quoted, to Layama Lave Nati, but also to the very next verse that we're going to study tomorrow, which is about the glories of associating with sadhus. So in case you haven't guessed yet, the answer to this question is that you associate with the sadhus. Sadhu means somebody who's honest, somebody who's more advanced than you, somebody who's enough like you that you can relate to him or her, but that person's faith is much deeper than yours, such that they can elevate you by their association. You see, this is the essence of it. If we just, it's been stated so simply by Govindadas Kaviraj. Jama, Janama, what does he say? Durlabhamanava Janma Satsange Tarahoe Bhavasinture. Although it's a very rare opportunity to this human form of life, by satsanga we can get out of this whole mess. Easy. Easy process. Everything happens through satsanga.
But no matter what, even though we know, I think we covered yesterday that lust is so strong that we know that this is temporary result, but we will decide only temporary result only.
Yeah, that's because we're on the mental platform.
Yeah.
And the more we associate with sadhus, the less we're on the mental platform, because we see that they're not on the mental platform. We get inspiration, we get guidance, we get encouragement, we get direction, practical, hands-on, you see. It's so valuable to associate with those who are more advanced than us. And that person doesn't necessarily have to be wearing saffron. He doesn't even necessarily have to be initiated. If his faith is deeper than yours, that is the sadhu. It's very important to see this. It's not stereotypical. It's dynamic spiritual life. Okay? Is that okay? All right, anything else? Otherwise, I know it's getting late.
Just extending Prabhupada's question,
yeah.
Why is it that all these material things are so attractive, so strong attraction? So, for example, like even if we are sleepy, we can watch a movie for 3 hours, but then we cannot chant if we are sleepy. Or sports, like a lot of people are into sport, they can watch the whole day.
Yeah, we have jaundice. When you have jaundice and you try to take sugar candy, what does it taste like? Kerala! You see? We're diseased. But Rupa Goswami says that the best thing to take when you have jaundice is sugar. It will help you. Hote hote, it will get your sense of taste back, and then you realize that, I'm sick. We have this infection. We're so much distracted. We give importance that is actually due to the Supreme Lord to so many mundane things that are just a blip in the scope of eternity. They're like bubbles in the ocean, no significance whatsoever, but we give them all importance. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's actually all important, we treat him like an insignificant. You see, we're skew. Our whole consciousness is perverted. Prabhupada uses this word. Inverted is another way to look at it. It's turned inside out. You see? So we're in a diseased condition that we have to recognize. And then, fortunately, the medicine is very easy, a very simple process. Maybe not easy, but simple. Simple means it's not complicated. But, like you said, we're more attached to the movie than we are to our chanting japa, you see. Therefore, we associate with more advanced devotees. And we gradually get advanced through that association, gain a taste. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam says explicitly, very clearly, gives direction about this. Syan mahat sevaya vitra punya tirtami jevanat shushu shrodh sharadhanasya vasudeva kathadaji. We get taste for hearing about Vasudeva when we serve the sadhus. Not only associate with them, but serve them. Then that cleanses the heart very quickly, and we get a higher taste. That's a secret, inside secret. Okay? Yes?
In today's world, like maybe some God is fortunate, some God is unfortunate, but I know women are, you know, like women has to do, like my mom is a household mom, she's a happy mom. But like in today's world, like woman has to work, raise the kids. Mm. Like, how does spiritual for the woman should be when considering? But in these days, woman has to work for multiple reasons. It may not be financial reasons, but there are multiple reasons for that. But you know, how should for the woman? Like, take for example for me.
Practical
like,
question. Yeah.
Yeah. How should it be? Like because I stay 8 hours or 9 hours at my workplace. But I come home.
You're supposed to clean the house, you're supposed to cook,
so,
you got to take care of your kids.
So how does spirituality come in all of this material, like...
Vastavne sakana chalega, it really doesn't work because it's not supposed to be that way. So then the next question is, why do you have to work? Who's behind this? Did you make this decision or did someone else make it for you? Remember what I said. The best way to control people is to make them think that they're making the decisions. Well, my mother told me something very interesting. She said, based on her experience, she said, actually, before World War II, no women used to go out and work. They were all housewives, and they were happy. She said, at World War II, they figured out, I mean, you can speculate on what fomented World War II, that's another, we'll leave that to the conspiracy theorists. But the fact is that when World War II came, then they started pushing women to work through the, supposedly for the war effort. But they never went home after that. They kept on working. And the same way after World War I, those who've studied history, North American history, they know that that's when women were given the right to vote. And that somebody saw that this is an untapped vote bank that we can exploit for the political, you know, for our political purposes. Similarly, the military-industrial complex of the 40s and the 50s, they saw that it's very lucrative. We've got now twice as much labor force, you see? And they don't care about your family. They don't care that your kids are neglected and going out and taking heroin like three-quarters of the youth in Punjab do. They don't care. And same thing in India, we saw riots when these call centers first came out about 15, 20 years ago, no? Because people immediately saw the effect. It was very disastrous, you see? Somebody's got an agenda here. And this is why Prabhupada said, so-called women's liberation, the rubric with which all this stuff is pushed upon us, Prabhupada said it's actually employed by very clever men who want to exploit women. And that's what we see going on.
What was the right with the call centers?
The what?
What was the right with call centers, you said?
I mean, it's, you know, not only call centers, but in so many ways, the Indians now are still being exploited as much as they were before Gandhi, before the independence, you see. He was complaining about Indian labor producing salt from the Indian Ocean. It was shipped from Gujarat to UK, and then refined there, and then sent back and sold to the very same people who made it at a higher price.
Now it is software.
And now it's software. You're making koi fark nahi. You see? So, you know, there's only one score in the material world, and it happens age after age. It's the yada yada hidarvas yada. He has to keep coming, or you send somebody like Prabhupada to come and just, you know, wake us up. Because we want something for nothing. And you can only be exploited when you're weak. If you're satisfied, nobody can exploit you. Therefore, they have to make you dissatisfied. Or you fight for your rights and get out there and be just, you know, this is all nonsense. And it's been going on for forever, really. Is that more than you bargained for?
I didn't get my answer, though.
Okay. Yeah, so what are you going to do about it practically? You keep good association with devotees, and you chant Hare Krishna, and go from there. Krishna will guide you, and the devotees will guide you. You read Prabhupada's books every day. Kam se kam, ek purport, ek shloka bas. You know? And then, you know, just take it slowly, and Krishna will give you the intelligence. As you follow the process, Krishna will definitely give intelligence what to do next. Okay? That's practical.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, I think we should stop. It's getting like 9:30. Thank you very much. You've been very patient, audience, tonight. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.